FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is April 19th, 2017. Hard to believe. We're already up to the first 100 days of Trump, and our good friend Wayne Allen Root is with us now to take a look at what the so-called non-honeymoon period actually looks like and what really happened. Wayne, welcome back.
Hey, Kerry, how are you?
All right. So first 100 days is rapidly coming to a close.
It is, and we're having one of the biggest events in the country here in Las Vegas, and it goes on Thursday, and it's called Making America Great Again, 100 Days, Celebration of Donald Trump. And we've already had RSVPs well in the thousands, expected to be a giant rally. I'm the host and master of ceremonies of the entire thing, so very excited about it, just as I was for the six Trump events where Donald himself appeared before the election. We don't think Donald's coming to this one. We invited him, haven't heard back, so I'm assuming he's not. He's probably got 50 invitations from 50 states, but I think we'll have one of the biggest ones in the nation. I'm very honored to be the one hosting it. And, you know, you get this narrative in the media, Kerry, that Trump's unpopular. If Trump's unpopular, why do thousands of people show up to celebrate his first 100 days? We think it's been a fantastic 100 days. You ask the media, and they'll tell you he's accomplished nothing in 100 days, because their version of something is he had to repeal Obamacare, and if that doesn't pass, then he's achieved nothing. Oh, he's achieved lots of things the media either doesn't notice or is purposely, fraudulently keeping from you. As an example, he's repealed more regulations than any president in history.
Yeah.
And unless I'm crazy, that statistic does not mean he's repealed more things in 100 days than any president in history. I believe in 100 days, he's actually repealed more than any other president ever repealed any time in history, meaning in 8 years of Bush or 8 years of Reagan, they didn't repeal the amount of regulations that Trump repealed in 100 days. So that's a pretty amazing, startling, shocking statistic, and it's fantastic. If you just count that, and you count naming Neil Gorsuch the Supreme Court nominee, and you count bombing the you-know-what out of ISIS with the world's biggest bomb, and nothing else, that's the greatest 100 days I've ever been around.
Yeah, well, but he does have obstacles. I mean, what did you think of this Obamacare repeal debacle?
I'm probably, even though I think most people who've heard me on the radio or read my commentaries would say I'm one of the most conservative commentators in all of America, I'm not as particular about details of things as most conservatives may be who said, oh, that's not a good repeal, oh, it's Obamacare light. Well, that may be true, but it also repealed all the taxes of Obamacare. And so it was a step in the right direction. I would have voted for it. I wouldn't have said it's perfect. I would have fought for more, just like many conservatives did. But in the end, I would have voted for it. Because to vote against it or to refuse to vote at all made Trump look unsuccessful in the media's eyes and gave them massive ammo to say in the first 100 days you didn't accomplish what you wanted, you didn't fulfill your promises.
Right.
That was so important that if we had passed that, Trump would have, even among the mainstream media, they would have said it was a significant 100 days. So I think it had to be passed. I think it was a mistake that anybody in the Freedom Caucus stood in the way. But having said that, I think it will pass in the next 3 weeks and the new one will be better than the old one, substantially better and more conservative, and give states the right to opt out of many of the mandates of Obamacare, and also will include the repeal of all taxes like the old one, and will also include the right to buy across state lines. And if that happens, then it's far significant than the last one, and it's a huge victory for Donald Trump.
Absolutely. I think they're going to have to come to their senses. I mean, they see with these runoff elections that are going on now that with the replacement, the special elections to replace people who Trump has appointed to his administration, the Republicans are going to win in all likelihood, but not by the margins that they should have. And that's really got to be a wake-up call for them.
Right. Well, you know, look, we did win in Kansas, so yeah, it may not have been the margin, but who cares? We won.
Yeah.
And in Georgia, we forced a runoff. If he had won with 50.1%, then the Democrat wins the seat, and he didn't. And now he's got to face a Republican, and I'll put my money where my mouth is. I was on the air just a day ago with a very famous entertainment commentator and reporter, and I told him my gut instinct says Bill O'Reilly will never be back to Fox News.
Right.
And he said, let's bet lunch on it. And I said, next time you're in Vegas, you owe me if O'Reilly gone. And he said, nah, he'll never be gone. They'll put him on an extended absence, then he'll be back. And I hear today he's gone. That's what I'm hearing right now. So I'll win that lunch, and I'll make you bet again. Republicans win that district in Georgia now that there's a runoff. My gut instincts are almost always right, and I'm telling you there were 11 Republicans running against one Democrat. When you add the 11 together and now it's one against one, we're going to win that district. It's a solid Republican district. So they're going to lose in Kansas. They're going to lose in Georgia. And losing close doesn't do anything for you except in tiddlywinks. So good luck to the Democratic Party.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so their filibuster of Gorsuch didn't work out too well, did it?
No, and no, we won that. And of course, you know, I thought the best thing Trump did was dropping the world's largest bomb, as they say, the mother of all bombs on ISIS. That was a huge, huge, huge thing that led to the most recent polls. You know, I'm just so sick of hearing everybody judge Trump on what his popularity is. You can be 35% popularity and still win an election as long as the other guy is even less popular. That was why Trump beat Hillary. Doesn't matter how unpopular Trump was, she was even more unpopular. Yeah. So you got to find someone to run against the guy. And there's no one the Democrats have that would beat Trump right now in 2020. No one. I actually saw something online that said five reasons why Maxine Waters should be the Democratic presidential candidate. I just started laughing.
Yeah, so I saw that too. That was the funniest thing I ever saw.
Exactly. So if Trump really is at 35% approval, she could be at zero. So he would win in a landslide. So when I heard, you know, liberals have only one argument. They keep, you know, I have the most popular column in the Vegas newspaper, and liberals keep sending me notes, and the notes all say the same thing. Nah. Your guy's a loser. He's at 35%. He's the most unpopular president in history. That's all they say. They all read from the same Obama teleprompter. The same lie, fake news that you'd hear if Obama was reading off a teleprompter. And so it's not true. Rasmussen was the only poll of the 16 election that got it right. Every single day they got it right. Trump was either tied, down one, or up one. And that's how the election ended. Rasmussen was right. So now, all the same polls that said he would lose by double digits, Trump, and got it wrong, those same polls show he's at 35% approval. Guess what Rasmussen shows? 50%.
Right. Approval. Exactly.
So Trump's doing just fine. And among the groups that matter, you know, ask me who matters. How about small business? The Small Business Optimism Index is up the most in 40 years. How about the Manufacturers Index? Those are the people that create all the high-paying jobs in America. And it's at 93%, the highest in history. So I don't know what people want from the guy. It is a divided nation. All the makers are on one side. They all support Trump. All the takers who don't pay anything into the system and want everything free and welfare checks and food stamp checks and free health care and free Obama phones, all of them are on the other side. They hate Trump. So it is 50-50, but Trump would win a re-election right now, number one. And number two, isn't it significant to note that the people who are important to America, who create all the jobs and pay all the taxes, are all for Trump, and the people who are not important to America, who only suck off the system and take out, are all against Trump?
Yeah, and look, it's not a popularity contest. And his popularity, regardless what it might actually be, and maybe it's not quite 50, maybe it's 55, it's irrelevant. He's here for 4 years, and they're just trying to do that, I think, to phase and undermine his support in Congress for getting his agenda through.
Right. Well, of course. Look, they all understand, liberals and commies, which are the same thing, basically, just a matter of wording, just like there's no difference between lawyers and liars except spelling. There's no difference between liberals and commies, except it's all about branding and a word. They know communist is a bad word, and so liberals prefer to call themselves progressives or liberals. They don't even mind leftists, but they hate communists and Marxists. It's the same thing, and they all realize that, you know, this guy just changed America, and they're screwed. You know, just the 5-4 edge on the Supreme Court changes everything for the next 40 years or longer. Maybe Gorsuch lives to 100. Maybe he's going to be on the Supreme Court 50 years. And that's only right now. Now, if Ginsburg either dies or retires, and she's not lasting long, believe me. Yeah. You know, I mean, the single biggest question of the Supreme Court is Ginsburg sleeping or is she dead? No one quite knows. Check her pulse. So, you know, Ginsburg is going to retire soon or be incapacitated, and Trump's going to get another Supreme Court nominee, and it's not going to be 5-4, and we have to worry whether someone defects all the time. It's going to be 6-3. And there's other old people on the Supreme Court nominee who may retire as well. If Trump lasts 8 years, I think he'll get at least one more. So we could be up 7-2. So liberals are panicking. The world has changed, man. Mm-hmm. The world it's not a liberal world anymore, even though the country is in a terrible 50-50 divide. And I just pointed out all the people that make and produce and pay are on one side, and all the losers are on the other side. Still, the 50-50 divide doesn't matter if you control the presidency, the Senate, the House, the Supreme Court, a huge majority of governorships, a huge majority of state assemblies and state senators. I think last I checked, Republicans control both houses of state legislatures in like 15 states, and Democrats control both houses in 3 states. So, I mean, it's just pure dominance at every level of government for the Republican Party. And if Trump is reelected, more Supreme Court justices. And like I say, liberals are panicking. So, of course, they throw around crazy, unhinged things like he's got to hang. We got to assassinate him. We got to overthrow him. There's got to be a coup. We got to impeach him. They're stark raving mad. And they know they've lost. And they just are like little children stomping their feet on the ground, crying hysterically because they don't know what else to do because it's over for them. They have lost. And it's as simple as that. And they just don't know how to overcome it. Well, the answer is maybe you should have, and maybe in the future you should focus your energy at the middle class of America. But they won't do it. There was a new article, Kerry, in the New York Times, I believe it was, that to this day, Democrats believe they should just go after their own same groups again that don't win them elections. They won't care about the middle class. You know why? Because if you care about the middle class, you can't be for higher taxes, regulations, and massive Obamacare. You just can't. The middle class won't support you. So if they were to change their views to go after the middle class, they would lose their entire base. So they are between a rock and a hard place, the Democratic Party. Simple as that.
Hey, and speaking of a rock and a hard place, have you checked out that new book about Hillary's epic fail of a campaign? I mean, that's been pretty entertaining.
I have not. I haven't had time to read it, but I could tell you I don't need to read it. I already know what a joke her campaign was. You know, unlike all the liberals who live in a fake world bubble, fake news bubble, what did I do? I was busy reading all the WikiLeaks drops during the campaign. And
same
so
here.
You knew how bad, how evil, how destructive Hillary's campaign, all the people behind her are. You knew that she was given, you know, the answers by the head of the Democratic National Committee down in Brazil.
Right.
You know, all the CNN answers in advance. You knew that they literally faked the primary and gave it to Hillary when it was really Bernie Sanders who won. They stole it. I mean, I just knew what bad people were behind Hillary, what a joke her campaign was. I knew that her campaign manager, what is it, John, I can't forget his name now.
Podesta.
I knew it was P-O-D. Yes. I knew that John Podesta and his brother had contracts with Russia. You know, they were doing business with Russia, collecting huge money from Russia. Tony Podesta, the brother, was collecting huge money, and John had some sort of contract where Putin was part of the company. And this is these are the people now charging Trump is in with Russia. It's really hilarious. It was just a joke of a campaign, and they didn't lose because of Russia, and they didn't lose because of hacking, and they didn't lose because of the FBI. Democrats lost because they put up a horrible candidate, and Wayne Root said it first before anyone in the country. I think I wrote, you know, probably 20 different articles a year out saying you can't possibly be serious. This is like a clown show. You're going to nominate Hillary? She can't beat anybody. You can't possibly be nominating her. She's the most corrupt human being to ever run for office, the most vile and unlikable woman ever. You can't be serious that you're nominating her. And I was in shock. Gary, I think I've said it on your show when it was like 2 weeks before the Democratic convention. I was in shock. I was like, they're really going to put her up when she's under FBI investigation? I mean, it was just shocking to me. And, you know, they got what they deserved.
Yeah, they certainly did that. And, you know, we talked about it many times. We were both in agreement that he was going to win, provided that she wasn't able to steal it. And evidently something happened because she wasn't able to steal it.
Well, you know, I made that prediction to Donald himself. It was October 30th. It was a week before the election. And Donald had a rally in Vegas, and I was the opening speaker again, as always. And after I got done speaking, I went backstage. And Donald was backstage taking photos. And the next person went up and started speaking. And Donald had, you know, like 10 minutes before he was going to go out. So he's in the back taking photos and talking to people. And he sees me, and he runs up to me. I'm very proud that, you know, I could say things like this. Donald literally ran up to me and said, Wayne, what do you think? Give me your prediction.
Yeah.
And I said, here's my prediction, Donald. You're going to win by 10, which is a landslide in America nowadays, a landslide. Mm-hmm. But it's going to look like you won by 1 because they cheat 9.
Yeah.
And Donald laughed and said, that's probably about right. Wow, that's funny. And that's exactly what happened, you know?
Yeah.
And He did win, by the way, by one or two or three. He didn't lose by one or two because they cheated. Not only did they cheat a little, they cheated a lot. And they the millions of illegals voted. I'm sure that's where Donald got his comment that millions of illegals voted, because I've written about it so many times. Here in Nevada, they bring in buses from California filled with illegals who vote in both states. Do you understand how bad it is? This is just massive corruption on a massive scale. Total conspiracy between illegal aliens and familia, what is that thing called? Familia vota, whatever it's called, which is about, you know, Hispanic voting, and the Democratic Party. And that's how they're stealing elections, or trying to steal them. And it doesn't matter how hard you try, you could still be outvoted.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. They tried very hard to steal it, and millions of illegals voted. But so many, what did my book say? Angry white male. So many angry white males and females came out in middle America, especially in the Midwest. They couldn't overcome it even with cheating.
Yeah. Hey, and you know, it's I guess it's a testament to the staying power of American democracy that eventually the public's will triumph. So one final thing. You saw Bill O'Reilly gone from Fox News. Any thoughts?
Oh, is that official now?
I'm seeing it on all the headlines on Drudge.
Oh, okay, do this interview, that's what I said to you a minute ago. I said I made the bet that he'd be gone, and I think I'm going to win that bet. I didn't realize I'd already won it. So he's gone, huh?
He's gone. It's there in New York Magazine.
Wow.
That Fox News has decided Bill O'Reilly has to go.
And,
you know, he's gone, so...
And that's a guy who was number one at Fox News every day for the last, 18 years? Number one literally last week. I mean, as he's leaving, he's number one. That's amazing.
Yeah, well, Drudge said he wasn't coming back. He seemed to imply he was not coming back, and he's gone.
All right, so my gut instinct was right again. I saw, you know, I'm a guy, I forget about the Tea Party. I don't mean this as a pun. I'm very good at reading tea leaves. And it just was very obvious that Fox is not run anymore by Murdoch, as in Rupert. It's run by the two sons of Murdoch, who are both in England and both fairly liberal. And they have no love lost for someone like Bill O'Reilly. So I guess that was the deciding factor. If it would have been up to just Rupert with his long relationship, maybe O'Reilly could have survived all these charges of sexual harassment or discrimination. Yesterday, a black woman coming out and saying he was always telling her how hot she was and made some comment, I guess, about her sexiness and her blackness. I don't know. Look, I don't know why people don't understand. Just because there's smoke doesn't mean there's always fire. It's so easy to pile on. He may have tried to date one woman at Fox News. That is not a crime, but that woman may have said, I'm going to sue you, and then he settled out of court because it just doesn't matter. He's worth $100 million plus, and giving her a few hundred thousand shuts her mouth. And that's the end of it. Well, then at that point, that opens the door to every woman that's ever sat at a desk that he walks by to say, I need a payday too. Or maybe he really is a bad guy. Wainwright's not saying he's a good guy. Wainwright's saying, I don't know what he is, but too many times in my life, I've seen guys who are painted as bad guys, and all it was like one bad dating situation at a workplace.
Oh, I know.
And then every other woman says, let me get in line for a payday. So there may have been one incident that may not have even been his fault. And then every other person you've ever come in contact with says, I could pick up a quick $500,000. That's better than working for $50,000 a year.
Yeah.
Or maybe is a lech. I have no idea.
Okay. Well,
sad either way.
You know, it's hard to know in these situations.
You know what's stupid? Here's the irony, Kerry.
Mm-hmm.
If you're single and you live in New York City or L.A. or Chicago, wherever it is, there's a whole city filled with millions of women and thousands of phenomenally beautiful women, and you're a star and you're rich. You can have any one of them. Why worry about the ones that work with you when you're going to lose your job over that? It's disaster. Don't even look at a girl that works for you. Don't get in the same room alone with a woman. How many people say that? Even Mike Pence, the vice president, says he has a rule. He's never in a room with a woman alone. It's got to be another person in there as a witness. And so that's how you never get in trouble. No one could charge anything if there's always another person in the room. So do your dating outside. You know, join a dating service. Go to a bar. Hit on the girls at your office, Bill. That's my only advice. That's a big mistake. And unfortunately, the way life works is people are busy and they're lazy. And so there's beautiful women sitting right in front of you. Why would I want to go out and find one when there's one at a desk three doors away? That's probably what led to his downfall. He shouldn't ask anyone for a date at work. It's a mistake.
Yeah, well, you know what they say. You don't do your business where you live.
Yes. Yes, and, that was a very nice way of saying it, but yes. So, so he should have joined the dating service. That's all I could say to Bill. If any of this is in fact true, and probably I'll even be fair, with the smoke, this fire, there's probably some truth to it. It's too many women have come out at this point. But, you know, what they're calling sexual harassment may very well be what I've seen my whole life, which is everybody at a workplace, it's always sexually charged when there's good-looking women and guys hanging out together. And they all make comments, and the women make just as many comments back to the men as the men make to the women. But the women never get sued. Only the men get sued.
The women are worse than the men because most men have gotten it through their heads. Not a good thing to do in the workplace. It can be taken wrong. And the next thing you know, you're out looking for a job or in court. So women are much freer about it now than the men, as a rule, because it's unusual for a woman to get sued for sexual harassment. Almost never happens with a guy, sometimes with other women, but it's a rare instance, Wayne, and it's a real sad commentary on our society here. Maybe he did go over the line with one or two of them, but they all come out of the woodwork. And the same thing happened to Trump during the election, you know, with all those women who made all these spurious claims that there was absolutely no corroborating evidence, and they waited 10, 12 years to make their claims. I mean,
right. None of them had a witness and they all waited forever. So yeah. I never gave any credence to any of them. But here's the reality, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's Bill O'Reilly, whoever it is, you know, guys make comments. Wow, look at that beautiful woman. That's not meant as harassment. That's a compliment.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just depends on the way it's taken. That's what bothers me about the way society is moving. If you say anything that's a compliment, you're suddenly a bad person. Right. What if I said to you, wow, that's a hell of a dress. Man, do you have nice legs. And I'm your boss.
Oh,
you mean at that point I'd sexually harassed you?
Yeah, well, in today's definition, it would be difficult to prove you didn't.
Right. And that's why the answer is join a dating service, go to a bar, go to a nightclub, ask friends to introduce you, but don't date anyone at work. And don't try and date anyone at work. And don't compliment anyone at work.
Keep your mouth shut.
Not a good idea.
Keep your mouth shut. Do your business and save the fun for outside the office.
But guess what, Gary? Guess what? When you make $17 million a year and you're number one in all of cable TV.
Yeah, true. I know. But still, this isn't the first time it's happened. And
is he did some things that were inappropriate, and the truth is somewhere in the middle, so who knows?
Yeah, the truth's always in the middle. Hey, Wayne, where do we find your radio show now? Your new show?
You find it at usaradio.com. That's the best way, because A, you can listen on your laptop, your desktop, your iPhone at any time of the day, or I'm saying when the show is on, of course. So USA Radio, which is 6 to 9 p.m. East Coast time, 3 to 6 West, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. East Coast time, Warren Al, the Wayne Allyn Root Show, nationally syndicated at usaradio.com, and that just started last week. You know, I've always been number one in local Vegas radio, but now I'm nationally syndicated, so a lot of new developments that you last heard from me. I'll be making an announcement in the next few days that the radio show, the national radio show, is going to be broadcast on television every day, 5 days a week. That announcement's coming in a matter of days. But the best place to find me, USA Radio, and as we add each affiliate around the country, it'll be listed at USA Radio.
Hey, well, that's great. And keep up the great work. We will have a link to it on the site in the show notes of this interview. Wayne, it's always a pleasure. And hey, I'm sure there's going to be lots more to talk about next time.
Thanks, Kerry. You can always find me at rootforamerica.com. That's my personal website, rootforamerica.com. God bless.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.